Well, we're back at it again. After a number of pre-recorded shows to finish off 2012, we're back live and reviewing Presentation Zen and trying to keep things simple in your presentations. I have a very geeky pick to start out 2013. We have a ton of great listener feedback, plus all kinds of other stuff, so stay tuned. This is Wells Tech, a podcast on the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Welcome back, everybody, to the Wells Tech Podcast. This is episode 270 for Tuesday, January 8th in the year of 2013. Good morning, Sally.
Good morning, Martin, and welcome to the beginning of year six of podcasting. Can you believe it's been that long?
270 episodes ago we started. That's not any, you know, milestone per se, but this is... I didn't know what to expect, I think, when we started. I don't know about you. I think you probably knew less what to expect than I did. I mean, I kind of had an idea of what we wanted to do, but I didn't know it would kind of evolve into what it is. And I'm really thankful for, probably more than anything, the community that's developed over the time here and the people that we've met that we would have never probably ever even known about before this show.
Yeah, I'm thankful for all that I've learned in the process, doing the research for the show and using my congregation here in Sleepy Eye as a guinea pig for a whole lot of the things that we've talked about. It has definitely benefited me personally and hopefully the church at large. I know here in Sleepy Eye, one of the big things we're doing is streaming our service. And we don't have a huge following, maybe 15 to 20 per week connections, but hopefully more than that, even watching. But we always get the most wonderful emails and things from people that are being reached by the gospel. And that's what's so exciting.
God uses the big things and the little things. Mm-hmm. So for those of you maybe that are tuning in for the first time, we offer the show in audio and video format. Wellstech.wells.net is the place to go. If you want to tune in live, we do our shows usually Tuesday morning, 9 o'clock Central Time, give or take a few minutes. This is the first time we've been live for a little bit, Sally. We had taken a little bit of break over the holidays. You and I were spending time with family, so we did some pre-recording. So we're back in the saddle and trying to figure out what we're doing again. And this show is actually an easy one because we are picking up right where we left off with a book review. So for a period of time when we take a book, we probably have been doing this probably for 3 or 4 years now, where we pick a book, we both read it. It's something that probably applies to ministry in some regard, and that's the case with our book that we're going through now called Presentation Zen. I've got mine here from Gar Reynolds. And this is a book that I use for actually teaching a class for Martin Luther College on what I call dynamic classroom presentation. So this is essentially the textbook. And lots of good stuff in here. And we're probably about midway through up to chapter 5, which, what is the title of chapter 5?
Simplicity.
And why
theme
it
for
matters.
The day.
Yes. Keeping it simple. So why don't we pick up with that discussion? We just kind of a quick review. We've talked about kind of the planning process, some the storytelling process, different components of a good presentation, including speaker notes, including handouts, and the slides itself. Now we're getting into, now you're getting ready to build a slide. And how do you decide what goes on that slide?
Yeah, I think, like you said, we've talked about some of the mechanics of proper planning. This chapter, to me, was a little bit more in the sky, pie in the sky kind of theory stuff, where we talked about, getting into exactly what we want to put on those slides and especially moving away from the bullet point mentality that we have to spell everything out in words on the slide behind us as we're expressing that to our audience verbally. Instead, right. It's a shift to complementing what we're expressing with imagery and very simple descriptions and things like that. So less is more is the theme of the chapter.
And right away he jumps in and starts giving an example of two people, two very well-known people who have two very different presentation styles, and both of them happen to be tech giants. One still living, one recently passed away, Steve Jobs and Bill Gates. Of course, Steve Jobs was the head of the CEO of Apple, co-founder of Apple. And Bill Gates, the founder of Microsoft, and both of them on many occasions had opportunity to do presentations, and they both did it a little bit differently.
Yeah, I had to smile. You know, Bill Gates' company, Microsoft, they're kind of responsible for that product called PowerPoint. So I would guess that Gates would be a fan of bullet points and the things that PowerPoint has kind of inflicted upon us yes. just by rote use of it. Mm-hmm. And so that, you know, that is what he brings out in his article, that Gates' presentations typically were very heavy on the text and the bullet points and that kind of thing, whereas Jobs was a master of picking simplistic imagery and things like that to complement what he was presenting.
Right. So he takes off of that discussion and the comparison between the two very different ones, one more text-oriented, one more visual, and jumps into really the three key components of what he feels is a dynamic or a viewable presentation, something that's going to get the message across, something that's going to communicate effectively. And of course, that first word that he uses, and he relates these to Zen and some of the Japanese words that are really important to that process. And one of them is simplicity. And that's the first one in the title of the chapter. So if you're trying to figure out what goes on a slide and what doesn't go on a slide, err on the side of less is more.
Definitely. The next word that he brings out is naturalness. Easy for me to say. Mm-hmm. That you want it to not be forced. You want it to be to express some restraint and just be very simple and natural. I don't mm-hmm. know how else to describe that.
Right. And then finally, the last tenet here is elegance. Talks about Shibumi is a principle that can be applied to many aspects of life concerning visual communication and graphic design. Shibumi represents elegance, simplicity, and articulate brevity, an understated elegance. So it's kind of a feel thing, and over time, and the neat part about this book is it gives some great examples. So it's not just talking, you know, it's not just talking to you, it's practicing what it preaches. So as you page through the book, you see all kinds of before and after slides that put this into practice, you know, this elegant simplicity that he's talking about, and this naturalness using things from everyday life that that tell a story. And those are very powerful slides, and very often there's only one or two or three words on the entire slide. So it's really more about an augment or an enhancement of what you're saying or the point that you're trying to make versus a slide that tells the reader, quote-unquote reader, everything they need to know.
Yeah. One of my favorite things about this chapter was a call-out called the fish story, where Gar relates a story that was shared with him after someone was in one of his presentations. And it basically is a story from India about someone who started a business selling fresh fish. And so they put a sign outside that said, "We sell fresh fish here." Seems like a reasonable sign. You want to tell the people what you're doing. But right away, someone suggested that using the word "we," kind of takes away from the customer. You know, it puts the focus on the person selling the fish. And so the word "we" wasn't really needed, that they could instead say "fresh fish sold here." And as you may guess, this progresses throughout the story. Little by little, they chip away at the at the slogan that was picked.
Of course, you don't need the word here. I mean, it's obvious that, you know, they're selling fish and here's the store. So fresh fish sold. And clearly you don't need the word sold because, you know, why would you have a sign up if you're not selling the fish? So fresh fish, obviously, is needed. And well, fresh should be not necessary. So why would you sell stale fish?
Right. The smell pretty much would give it away.
Right. And why do you even need the word fish? You can you can just use an image of a fish and you can smell the fish. So you're whittling away at some of the non-essential parts, getting it down to the very simplest form. And that's a pretty powerful lesson.
Yeah, and I actually could relate to this. I can remember going through a writing exercise exactly like this. And really, if you take a step back from anything you've written, you can do this same kind of honing down of extra words and things, just getting rid of that kind of stuff until you get to the real message that you want your audience to absorb.
Mm-hmm. I get a lot of that. My wife is an English teacher.
Lucky you.
And I've talked to her and I've read other things on, you know, good writing. And you can say the same thing about a lot of the extra words that we throw into our paragraphs, like adverbs and adjectives. That if you have to use a lot of those, maybe you ought to, you know, kind of reposition or rethink what you're saying or how you're trying to say it too. So simplicity, simplicity, simplicity.
I particularly enjoyed the last part of this chapter, Martin, where he shifted to a discussion about the art of comics and specifically about Scott McCloud's book called Understanding Comics. The
I read it this weekend.
Oh, wow. You were
cover
busy.
To cover, yeah.
And what do you think of it?
Awesome. I think I'm not a big comics fan, so this a lot of the concepts that he talked about in here were brand new to me, and I wasn't, and it kind of got me interested in comics because they present a different genre and a different way to communicate. And I think there is some potential in how we do presentations that we can learn a lot from comic strips and how one slide leads to another and tells a story, just like a comic strip panel. And the different ways you can tell the story through an image, through a word, through what's not said, where you start in one slide and you wind up in another, and how did you get from slide A to slide B? That's really what comics do. So very interesting read. And what's most interesting maybe about the book is it is a comic itself.
Yeah.
So it's not just, a bunch of paragraphs. They're using pictures and they're using, bubbles, and they're using all of the techniques that he's talking about in the book. So.
And Garth says that we can all do this. He's quoting Scott's book toward the end where he says, what you need is a desire to be heard, the will to learn, and the ability to see. And so with those three things in mind and, you know, an eye toward simplifying, I think that we can improve our message and the imagery that goes along with it.
Yeah. Reminds me, I think, I don't know if we mentioned this on the show before, but there was a new presentation technology or presentation app called PowToon.
Sure.
I don't know if you've played with it, Sally, and I don't remember if we mentioned it in the show or not.
We
should include it in the show notes, but it got me kind of reinterested in that and tried to play around a little bit with that. I think that I'm going to try and do a presentation in that and see how it goes, because it kind of takes off on this same concept that you can create a nice professional presentation. A lot of people think of comics as, you know, kid stuff, but that you can present something that is dynamic, something that is interesting, something that is going to do the job for you just in a comic strip fashion. And this technology, this Web 2.0 tool, allows you to do that.
Yeah, a lot of fun in the process.
And I think maybe it would be a great tool for in the hand of a teacher who is trying to reach, you know, kids. Especially that might be maybe turned off or kind of tuned out of, you know, different kinds of, you know, general PowerPointy kind of stuff, but maybe put in a comic strip fashion, there might be a way to reach some of these kids.
Yeah. And, you know, it may seem a bit of a stretch in a presentation book to be talking about comic strips. But if you think about presentation slides, they are basically just like those individual little comic strip windows, you know, strung together pretty much in a linear format. So very, very applicable, the things that Scott talks about in his book. It's not a real recent book either. It's something that was published probably 12, 15 years ago,
but in the
still
90s. Mm-hmm.
Very, very applicable to the art of an excellent presentation.
Yep. And jives nicely with that concept of keeping it simple. Don't say any more than you have to, and let the reader or the listener be engaged and do a little bit of the work where they're connecting the dots. And that's probably the key to a good presentation, where you've got the reader or the listener or the viewer engaged, and they're thinking through what you're talking about and wondering, how does this apply to me and how does this slide relate to that? So,
mm-hmm. I'm just remembering Hugo. Did you ever see the movie Hugo? It's written in graphic novel format.
No, I haven't. I've heard of it, though, but I have not seen it.
And that subtlety between the imagery page by page and how you do have to connect the dots, and it is very engaging. So I can imagine it being very engaging in a presentation as well.
Okay. So worth seeing?
Yeah. Enjoyed it. I enjoyed the book more, I think.
Okay. Good. Mm-hmm. All right. So that is Presentation Zen. Each month we grab a chapter. So next month we'll be on to chapter 6 if you want to follow along at home.
All right.
Let's move on to ministry resources, Sally.
Yeah. We wanted to talk about a new resource. This is from the YouVersion folks, I believe, and it's called BibleX. Martin, a free, easy-to-use Bible study tool for anyone, anytime, anywhere. Fits your life, fits group work, and is accessible on your mobile device.
Yeah, this is, and I wanted to play with this weekend, but instead I read the comic strip. But this came across the wires a couple weeks ago, and it was very intriguing. First of all, it's by the YouVersion people from lifechurch.tv, and they make great Bible tools. And this is an extension of that I think takes that concept of just reading the Bible into kind of a study of the Bible, and then the whole social nature of it, studying the Bible together, so that different people grab this app, and I think it's basically geared for mobile devices, phones or tablets, and allows people to kind of work through the Bible. And I can't vouch for the theology of it, but I just like the concept of creating an app that engages people with God's word and then in a structured way walking them through it and then engaging each other as they talk about it. So BibleX, I think it's, what is it, BibleX.com.
Yep. And actually, the Drapers have a couple of things to contribute to ministry resources this week, starting with an update to our Print My Cal program. This is something I talked about on the show quite a while ago.
Good stuff. Yep.
But this is a little program that my husband wrote that allows you to print your Google Calendar and have more control over the print. For those of you that are using Google Calendar for church or school office.
A lot of people are now.
Yeah. This interface allows you to color code the calendar. It allows you to control the layout of the calendar in a Microsoft Word or RTF format. And the upgrade is a pretty major one. Before, you used to have to do some geeky stuff to get your calendar into the program. Now it connects with Google, so you have to give it permission through a web screen, and then it just goes and draws from your Google Calendar automatically, and you can control the layout a whole lot more. And we actually even have a complete documentation manual available. Ooh-hoo. As well. So there's a Windows version and
a video
version. Yeah, we got a video overview, and then the user manual is available online. You can find all of this at printmycal.wordpress.com, and we'd be happy to answer questions if you have challenges with it at all. But,
and I'm sure with the upgrade, you upped the price tag on this too, right?
Yeah, the price tag is free. We certainly would appreciate any donations. There's a link there if you want to give a donation.
Please do. This is an awesome program. I haven't tried it recently, but and you were right. It was a little geeky to set up in the old way, but it looks like you have made this super simple, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks, Kevin.
And one more update from the Drapers. As of about 2 hours ago, my husband landed in Tel Aviv for a 13-day tour of Israel.
Awesome.
He's gone with the Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary Winterim course. And we actually spent our Christmas vacation putting together a website of the 55 different sites that they're going to visit. So you can follow them day by day. There's actually a page there for each of the sites already. that describes the sites and has a map of where it's located and some at least one photo that we found off of Wikimedia Commons, maybe. But here I am seeing some updated photos, and we actually have the ability to map the photos, lots of different things. And he, like I said, he's been on the ground for a couple of hours. I see some actual photos here that I didn't realize were out here. So here you go, the airport in Tel Aviv, apparently, and some palm trees there. They're supposed to go to Jaffa today, which is the biblical city Jaffa, where Jonah set sail to avoid the God's command to preach to the people and call them to repentance. So that's on the itinerary for today. And then tomorrow they're heading south down through the Valley of Elah, where David and Goliath fought, and all the way down to Eilat, where the Red Sea is. So they're going to hit a lot of different locations. And you can follow along day by day. There are links available there. And he's supposed to post pictures. I can see that he already did that. So that's really exciting to see. And hopefully some reflection and ideas about things he's seeing and things along the way.
So, very cool. Did he take your new camera along?
He did. That was the purpose of having the new camera, so we could get some good pictures, hopefully.
Sweet. So. This is an awesome site. So it's kind of a Where's Waldo, except it's Where's Kevin.
Yeah.
And you can follow along with the biblical history as well as today's images. Awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, it was a wonderful blessing for our family because we divvied up all 55 sites among the five drapers, and we all did the preliminary research. So we all learned stuff about where he was going. It made us a lot more engaged in the process. So
awesome.
Yeah. And the idea is that hopefully our congregation and others can be engaged with it as well.
Yep. Send your pastor to Israel. That's a good, that's a good use case for that. So
there
awesome. Looking forward to following along.
Yep.
All right. Shall we move along, Sally, to our picks of the week?
Sure. And that probably means that I need to share my screen one more time for those watching video. Try to show you things along the way. My pick of the week is one that I came across this week from Google. They were promoting this page called Keys to the Web. And this is just a really kind of satirical look at different things that you want to explain to people about the internet. Like, how does the internet work? What is an ISP? How do I make my internet faster? And it's done in terms of videos. They're typically less than a minute long and use kind of household items to explain the process, like how do I make my internet faster? They show water faucets and different streams of water coming out of the water faucet. So very tongue-in-cheek, but a good illustration of actually the internet speed that's coming through your wires and things. But it's not just the videos. They do have a little bit of a technical write-up to go along with each of the topics. So there's a little bit more meat to it than just the fun little videos. But again, I think really well done. You know, how does the internet get to my mobile phone? What is cloud computing? How do people start and maintain businesses online? What's a social network and how do I manage what's shared about me? So check out keystotheweb.com and perhaps they will be of use to you in a training situation or whatever, hopefully a help to you.
Yeah, it looks like they've broken it down into a couple of different categories there: security, communication, basic, that kind of stuff. So cool. And you've watched some of these?
I have. And like I said, they're quick. You know, sometimes I'm not that into, oh, I got to watch a 5-minute video, but all of the ones that I've watched have been a minute or less. So real simple and goes along with the theme for the day, explanations and illustrations of these kind of techie concepts.
Kind of a Mr. Rogers look on the guy there.
Yeah, retro for sure.
All right, my turn.
Yes.
I'm going to go a little geeky, and I've been known to do that once in a while. And this is a tool that has been around since 07, and I've used it off and on. I've just gotten back into using it for some of the mobile app development that I'm doing. It's called Yahoo Pipes. Obviously by Yahoo, and the background behind the naming of this pipes is a Unix command where you can take content from one file and do some manipulation of it and push it into a different file. And that's exactly what this does with the web, and specifically, or at least predominantly, with RSS feeds. So it's kind of a web or an RSS feed mashup tool where you can go online and pick a number of RSS feeds or a single RSS feed, do stuff with it, and create a new RSS feed. So let me give you some examples. So web mashups are very popular these days. So for instance, you could build a single RSS feed of different devotional contents. You grab devotional content from three or four of your favorite sites or blogs, bring them all together in an RSS feed and bring that into your feed reader, or display on your website. You could do the same with, let's say, images across the web. Say, show me images of crosses or of churches or of Jesus or whatever. And would go out and you'd build this through a graphical interface. You could build a pipe of your favorite blogs, but you could filter it then maybe only on certain topics. So only show me blog posts that deal with means of grace or baptism or the Lord's Supper or the Incarnation or Jesus' birth or John the Baptist, whatever. Great applications here for teachers. So let's say you're teaching a unit on the Civil War. You could aggregate video sources that only deal with, let's say, the Civil War and bring those together in one feed that you could put on your classroom website that your kids could consume. Let me share my screen and I will maybe just walk through a quick example of this. And I'll talk through the example for those of you that are just listening at home.
While you're doing that, Martin, I'm just thinking of an application for a church website maybe that wanted to share applicable news from the area or news from the Synod and missions and things like that, just
sure.
Pulling together. I remember somebody asking me that once. I'd like to just feature news articles from our town, but have some control over picking and choosing, you know, the sources and things like that. So
right.
I can see that as being a good application to feed to a website.
Yeah, if you're not happy with just the feed that comes in or just doing a single feed or stacking feeds on your website, you could bring all of those together in one, you know, feed that would display kind of as a list of news items. So even the Wells feeds you could do that with. So you could grab the daily devotion and the through the Bible readings and the military devotion and the Forward in Christ articles or whatever and bring those all into one little display that just kind of shows you the latest and greatest. So I'm looking at the Yahoo Pipes site, and you need a Yahoo account for this. So it's not, it's not too big a hurdle to get that. I've had a Yahoo account for a long time. And then you just have a little button that says create a pipe. And once you get into the interface, you're going to see that there's a canvas on which you can work, and you drag different modules here. So you have all kinds of sources that you can grab. So you can grab Flickr stuff or web pages or Yahoo stuff. So one that is particularly useful is the Fetch Feed module. So you just drag, let's say, a Fetch Feed module in. It asks for the URL. So let's say I want to build, let's say I'm a teacher and I want to build a feed of things. Let's say you're doing a unit on free speech and you want to grab all the recent articles on maybe censorship, okay, which is kind of hot right now, let's say, in China, I think. So what you would do is you would go to the news sources that you normally would maybe find this stuff at. So I've looked, you can get RSS feeds from almost every major news source. So go to CNN. And so I'm going to grab, I just went to their RSS page, and I'm just going to grab their RSS feed to their world news. So I want to look at, let's say, censorship across the world. So I just grab that feed, I paste that into the little tool here, and then all I need to do to filter, I'm just going to see the unfiltered version. So you just connect it to an output. And you got a little window here on the site that shows you what comes up. So it's going to show you all the articles that are available through that RSS feed. And you can open those and so on and so forth. But I don't really want those. I want just articles on censorship. So what you can do is you can put filters in here. So there's a whole operator section, and I've got a filter that I can throw in here. And you can configure it. So you're going to say, I'm going to permit all feeds or all feed items from, let's say, the title of the feed that contain the word censorship. And now I just connect all those boxes. So I'm going to connect the feed to the filter. So it's going to filter just the titles that have censorship in it. And then connect the filter to the output. And now if I hit refresh, it's going to show me that there's only one article that's and it's about Chinese journalists in rare protests against censorship. So now I can just add other feeds. I'll add one from USA Today, for instance. And I've got a feed here from USA Today. And I'm going to add that to my feeds. And now I'll refresh, and I should get some more feeds, and I do. So I've got one from CNN, one from USA Today, and you can keep going. You can get the New York Times and so on and so forth. You can add, you can change the filter term. So let's say I wanted to do a unit on what's hot right now is drones. Nobody likes drones, but it's one of the things that's in the news today. So if I change the filter and do a refresh, I'm going to see all the articles that talk about drones. And here's that article about from Pakistan. Officials say U.S. drones kill 8 militants. So a teacher could easily create a nice aggregation of different feeds and news articles about different kinds of topics. And then what you do is you save it. So let me put in my censor word again here. Or censorship.
You can have multiple of those rules as well.
Yep. You can do
a plus sign up there.
Yep, you can add more rules. So only show me censorship articles from China, where China and the word censorship appear in the title or in the description. Mm-hmm. So now if I click save, I'll say, I'll call this censorship as the pipe name. I can save it. Now I can create as many of these pipes as I want. And now I've got a censorship pipe. If I click on that, it's going to run it, and then it's going to show me all of the articles. And I can click on those articles in a nice list. You can embed this list on your web page. You can get another RSS feed. Mm-hmm. You can have it emailed to you or sent to your phone. So there's all kinds of, I think, applications for just mashing up different content on the web, bringing it all together, filtering it. You can sort it. So show me the latest or the newest or whatever. There's all kinds of other things you can do on this as well. You can strip out the pictures. You can really manipulate the content any way that you want, and then you can share this however you want as well. So very cool tool, totally free. Been around for a while. There's some good books out there on how to build up these pipes, and lots of people build their own and share them as well. So that is Yahoo Pipes.
Okay, you might win the Geek Award for 2013 right off
already,
the bat.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
lots
exciting.
Lots of application here. The reason I'm using it right now is I needed a way to build some of these web apps that would aggregate Wells.net content, but I wanted to sort them a little bit differently, and I wanted to strip out pictures and change some of the descriptions. So you can actually search in the descriptions and strip out certain words or links or whatever, and then push a new RSS feed just the way you want it. So it's a really nice customizing tool. And there's definitely ministry application as well, though. You can even do translation. So you can say, bring in a web page or an article or blog post and translate it. So it works through the Microsoft translation engine and will spit out that translation in an RSS feed. So if you've got a Spanish site or an English site you want to translate into Spanish, it'll do that for you. So pretty cool.
Good stuff. Powerful.
It is. And you have to be a little bit geeky to use it, but it is kind of a drag and drop, and you could see how easy it was just to cut and paste and get the results you want. So
Very good. Thanks for demoing it.
Yep. Let's go on to we call it our wells.net feature. It's really not a wells.net feature, but there are interesting items that we'd like to share with the class, Sally.
Sure. And this one is actually an update to our Wells Connect website. Connect is the intranet site for the Synod where we carry out the work of the Synod. And there are many, many great resources available there. And over the holiday, we had kind of a soft launch of a new look to the Connect homepage. And so if you haven't visited Connect lately, you might want to check it out. Hopefully the news is more accessible to you. We've got announcements easily available. We have ministry resources featured here in a tabbed area. We have things you may need over here under different categories where you can click to expand those categories. And also just news and imagery that's continually updated. So I kind of think of Connect as my CNN homepage for the Synod, where I can go and find out what's new and see all the recent announcements and things. And now in a even more easy to use format. So I'm liking the redesign.
Good.
Thumbs up for the people behind this. So.
Kudos to Julie Duran and the Communications Services Group as well, who put in long hours to get that spruced up a little bit for us.
Mm-hmm. And one more mention, this is not, again, on Wells.net, but it's on our Wells Tech Wiki. So it's a Wells resource. And it's called the Lectionary on Google Calendar. I know we've talked about this on past episodes, Martin, but the beginning of the year is a time when people look at their calendars, refresh their calendars for a new year. And we do have a calendar available on Google Calendars with all of the readings and information that you need, prayers of the day, verse of the day, hymn of the day, colors for the season, that kind of thing. And it's available out on Google, and you can embed it right into your existing Google Calendar, or you can get a link to it and incorporate it in other ways as well. So with the coming Sunday, Epiphany 1, then you can see all the different
sweet
information right there in your Google Calendar, easily accessible. Maybe you want to share this with your musicians and others who are involved in worship planning, so they have that information available to them as well. And out on the Wells Tech Wiki is all the information you need to make use of that Google Calendar. It's updated through the current church year through November 2013. And as updates come out, we'll extend that as well. So use and enjoy.
Very nice.
We hope it's a blessing to you.
Very nice. Let's move right along to our community feedback section.
Sure. And the first thing I wanted to share was an email we got recently from listener Perry Lund. Perry is a member of Grace in Oskaloosa, Iowa. And it sounds like they are ready to take the next step in their audio video access to their worship service. They have for a long time been doing audio only recordings and posting those on the website. So you could go back and listen to their sermons and things like that. But now they'd like to look at the possibilities with video, and not just doing video for archiving, but ultimately for streaming. I had to smile because Perry said right off the bat, the church doesn't have internet. So it's kind of hard to stream video without internet.
And limits approaches you can take. Yes.
Yeah. So that would be the number one thing. He said that he thinks 2013 is the year that the internet is going to reach their church, actually. But barring that hurdle, I thought it was really interesting that Perry was looking at the idea of wireless cameras, Martin. I hadn't considered wireless cameras before. I think that's some newer technology, and hopefully maybe someone that's listening will have some information to share or has used them in their church. But I can understand his desire to do that because of church architecture.
Right.
It's not always easy to place a camera in the optimal place to record a service. And so I think that's a great idea, Perry. If it were me, I think I'd probably opt for a wireless iPad and just hold the iPad where I wanted it to be or whatever. But that's just me and my iPad leanings or whatever. But I'm going to plead ignorance on wireless cameras and poll the audience for some support there for our friend Perry. So if anybody has experience, we'd love to hear about it.
Yeah, that that's an interesting concept. I think there are absolutely advantages, but you would want to kind of weigh the benefit, you know, the cost and the benefit to this, because I'm sure that's a more costly solution as well. So.
Yeah. All right. Moving on then. I'm going to share my screen one more time and whip down a bunch of the Digo links that were shared. We love our Digo group because it's easy to share links as you come across articles or resources on the web. You can share them with the class through our Wells Tech Digo group. So we invite you to be a part of that. A couple of people shared this week, including Jason Schmidt, who found an article in the Google official blog about bringing the scrolls of Genesis and the Ten Commandments online. And I know they've been working to digitize the Dead Sea Scrolls. And so sounds like an interesting project, and they're making good progress on it. And this would be an interesting update for those that are following that project. Jason also tagged an article about the Makey Makey. Have you heard about the Makey Makey, Martin?
No.
An invention kit for everyone. So basically, through a series of connectors, you can digitize things like bananas and anything you connect them to. They show all kinds of cool examples. It's a great do-it-yourself kind of project kit that you can order. And so if you're interested in a geeky start to 2013, you might want to look at the Makey Makey. For some reason, I have this reputation, and so Jason and Tom Rose, now they always tag things and say, Sally would like this. we are geeks here in Sleepy Eye, and so this does look appealing. Yeah.
I still haven't gotten my Raspberry Pi yet, so I'm still thinking about that.
Okay. Next up, we heard from Gail Potratz, who tagged something on Digo called a list of the best iPad apps teachers need. And I think more and more teachers are looking at using iPads in the classroom. I know right here in Sleepy Eye, they've started using them in the public school system, and some of our children go to the public school for some special needs and assistance and things. And so it's going to trickle down to our school in that way, even if our school isn't looking at it specifically, as the students begin to use them in other settings, we're going to be learning more about them in our school. So if you're brand new to iPads, this list may be just what you need. There's all kinds of categories available here, from digital storytelling to video apps, science apps, audio recording apps, grading apps, and everything in between. So a good launching point to look for some apps to put on that brand new iPad for the classroom.
Very nice.
Next up, we heard from Tom Rosenau on Digo, and he shared several different things. One is a plug-in for replacing the new tab page with the time and weather. This is for the Google Chrome browser. So if you're a Chrome user and you click new tab, it's kind of a dull tab that opens up that maybe has some of your more recent visited things or whatever. But this actually makes it more of a workable tab where it has the time and date and weather on it. So if you're looking for a plug-in like that, here's another Raspberry Pi thing that Tom tagged again with that special note that Sally would like it. And it was getting a screen and keyboard stuffed into a 3D printed Raspberry Pi case. And so you could turn your Pi into basically a portable, kind of a Nintendo DS look, almost portable computer. And you know, I found a website, and I should have tagged that. I'll have to have that on next week's show, where you can upload 3D print designs and get them to print it for you. So you don't have to have your own 3D printer. Right. You can do designs and have it printed. And so the sky's kind of the limit with design these days. It's really exciting. All right. Next up from Tom, he tagged an article called Get the Most Out of Your Kindle Reader with Free Tools. So if you have a new Kindle and want to customize it a bit, there are all kinds of things that you can do with your Kindle.
This was a great article.
Sending web articles to your Kindle, sending RSS feeds to your Kindle, reading Google Books on your Kindle. Wow, that's almost not... doesn't sound legal almost, but it's possible. Making a Kindle ebook from web articles, stuffing your Kindle with free books, and the list goes on and on. So a great read for those with Kindle readers. And then finally, there were some links from us, Martin, on TECO. I tagged a couple. One is an hour-long webinar archive, and this was done by Brad Flickinger, who's a tech teacher at an elementary school in Colorado, and he did a webinar titled and I thought there was a more creative title than this, Providing Support to Teachers and Their Use of iPads in the Classroom. I think the subtitle I'd read or something, So You Have iPads, Now What, was the concept. So if you do have new iPads in your classroom, this might be a worth an hour-long investment for you to watch his video and see him demonstrate. He does amazing things with iPads at the elementary level at this Bemke Elementary in Colorado where he serves. And then finally, I tagged a slide share that I found called the 2012 Internet Trends Update. And this actually just looks at kind of the shift of things. And I thought it was very well done. I can't tell you how I ended up landing on this page or exactly who these people are behind it. But if you're looking for some trends and things, for statistics on how we've shifted from to a more mobile community and a more visual community with Pinterest and those kind of things, this is an excellent stack of slides that I think you would benefit from reviewing. So check out the 2012 Internet Trends updated version. And then, Martin, you had a time management link you were going to share with us.
From Forbes magazine, and this is an article called 12 Time Management Habits to Master in 2013. And this is going way back to Ben Franklin and how he tried to create a list of new habits that he wanted to put into his life in the new year. And he had kind of a neat way of doing this. So he had 12 time management habits, and they're listed here in the article: strive to be authentic, favor trusting relationships, set very few priorities and stick to them, turn down things that are inconsistent with your priorities, those kinds of things. But what he did to try and make them a part of his life rather than just, you know, putting a list of, you know, goals down, is he kind of set them to a cycle throughout the course of the year. So he took each of the 12 and spent a week on each and then did that four times. So he cycled through the 12, and each week he would just say, I'm going to focus on this particular habit. And then he would put little reminders in his office or different ways that he could be reminded about what is the focus for that week. And so four times a year, he would focus on one habit and then rotate through each one. And by the time the year was over, he had spent a good amount of time, basically a month's worth of time on these habits. And hopefully they became part of his life. And these happened to be good time management habits that he had put in place. So going back to old Ben Franklin, good blog post on Forbes.
Excellent. We had an email recently from our friends Jazz Lundquist and Mike Klebig. We met Jazz and Mike at the communication conference we went to at Bethany this fall, and I'm drawing a blank as to the title of that, Martin. Do you remember the name of the Christ in Media.
Christ in Media was the group, right, yes.
Right, and it was just an exciting time for us to hear about all these different ideas about ways to advance the gospel using technology, and in particular, Jazz and Mike definitely stood out. They were guests of ours on the Wells Tech podcast. And at the time, one of the things that they were excited about was what they called a portable media distribution system, basically speccing out a set of equipment that can be used in the mission setting. Oftentimes, they are going into very rural places where they don't have standard electricity available to them at all times. And so they needed things like solar power and very lightweight so it could be carried in, even in backpacks or whatever. But they want to be able to share the gospel using all this amazing technology, like showing videos or whatever it may be. And so they were looking for computer-type equipment and projection-type equipment, and they've actually spec'd that out. They came up with a set of equipment standards that could do this, and for a very reasonable cost. They were looking at between $400 and $1,200, depending on what capabilities were needed for the system. And so if you're interested at all in looking at the setup that Mike and Jazz are recommending, we'll have a link to that, have it posted in the show notes.
Very good. Thanks, Mike, Jazz. Appreciate it.
Martin, you had a link that you shared via Twitter.
Your church's Facebook page, or six best practices for your church's Facebook page. And a good way to start out the year is focusing on your social media strategies. And this was first in a series of articles that I think kind of hit home for me as I'm working through my own blog posts on using social media. So the six that they shared here were people want to show their personality and connect, more question marks than periods, spend time listening, find your rhythm, hit these often, and a bunch of different topics or concepts that you could put in, and then how to recruit volunteers. So good, just basic article that was actually published a while back, April 12th. Of 2012. It's just being republished now, but looking forward to more in this article series.
Excellent. And then finally, via Twitter, our friend Maren McPeak out at St. Mark's, I believe, in California, asked the question, anyone in the Wells Tech audience have recommendations for a do-it-yourself pictorial directory? So if you were going to put together a pictorial directory for your congregation, how would you do that without contracting a company to do it for you, basically? Mm-hmm. And, you know, a couple of ideas came to mind for me. I think there's a lot of these websites. I know Mixbook is one, and I'd have to look for others. But I know there's several out there where you can build your own books online and have them printed. And it's not just hardcover. You can have them printed in a soft cover. But I think anytime you want to do color printing, there's going to be some cost associated with that. You know, if you really want to do a true pictorial directory in a color print, you're probably going to pay, I don't know, at least $8 to $10 per book, I would think,
right,
to get, you know, something of a decent quality to come out. So I guess that's the trade-off. Do it yourself, but you are definitely going to have some cost associated with color printing, especially. It's not something you can just use your copiers in your church office to create.
Right. So. Not cost effectively, probably.
Right. Right. So if there are listeners out there who have done pictorial directories and are willing to share, we'd love to hear from you and hear your ideas for making that happen in congregations. That's going to do it for community feedback, Martin.
Okay. We have a show coming up next week that we're going to show up for. And I for one, am thinking this might be the highlight of 2013.
I just want to go on record as saying whose idea this show was. We are going to do a show all about Pinterest.
Pinterest. Yay! For ministry, yes. We will do a show about Pinterest. So
this was Martin's idea.
This will, I think probably the rationale behind this show is, for once and for all, I want to figure out if Pinterest has a place in ministry. So we'll try to ask and answer that question. And how's that for a tease?
I can't wait. I can't wait for you to answer that question. I'm going to get it in on record.
All right. I think it's time to close this show, episode 270, with a new artist for 2013, Ben-Hur Kamrang, who is a staff minister down in Texas. Music new to our streams network, and we are going to play his song, Amazing Grace. So welcome, Ben-Hur, to the show and to the streams network, and we look forward to playing more of your music in the future. And we also want to thank everybody else for joining us once again in 2013. We look forward to a great year with you, and talk to you next week.
Because of your love, you sent us Jesus to give his life for us. Because of your love, you sent your son Jesus to give his life for us. Amazing grace, how sweet the sent his son Jesus to give his life for us. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. His grace has brought me saved thus far. You sent a son, Jesus, to give.